The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate our feast day. And you know, if you think about the great events in the history of the world that shaped the world, what are some of the things that might come to your mind? I'm not going to ask you out loud. As I thought about it some, I think of the extinction of the dinosaurs, which allows smaller mammals to populate the earth. The agricultural revolution and the domestication of animals and plants by humans that allow civilizations and cities to grow. The invention of the wheel. The invention of hieroglyphics and languages that allow the recorded word to be spread about. Not to mention the rise and fall of empires, for good or for evil, that shape civilization, the invention of the printing press, use of tools in the Stone Age, the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, inventions of Sir Isaac Newton or discoveries, Einstein, computers, the internet, air travel, traveling the globe, finding new lands. Of all these things, though, there's still two that I haven't mentioned that are probably highest on the list. And one of them is the birth of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, shaping civilization like nothing else. But also, almost just as miraculously, this feast day we celebrate, I propose, is one of the events that fit on that list. The apparition of Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, to the Aztec people near the city of Mexico. Because, for two reasons, I would say, after that apparition, from 8 to 10 million people converted to Christianity, and that history has shaped the Americas, which have had a profound influence on the world. but also for another reason not as often spoke about. Of all the artifacts or religious objects, proofs of God's existence, there is really nothing we have that's more convincing than the tilma of Juan Diego, a replica of it here, which is still on display in the Basilica in Mexico City. Now, you know the story, perhaps, being a member of our church and hearing the feast day many times, but it was during a time when the Spanish Empire was expanding to colonize the New World, and a military expedition, really, for military power, also for riches and resources of the New World, but also for religious purposes, to spread the faith, the Spaniards were colonizing the Americas. And the bishop, a Franciscan friar, in charge of the missions, wrote in his journal that the mission to the Aztecs is failing. They were a very strong people, a very high advanced culture, and they were hard to convince because they had a very embedded religion. And he wrote that unless heaven itself intercedes, the mission will fail. And my understanding is he additionally prayed to the Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, which was actually a shrine in Spain, for her intercession. And then one day, Juan Diego, an Aztec native, converted to Catholicism on his way to Mass and Children's Liturgy of the Word, Catechism. Mary appears and says, "Go tell the bishop I want a church built here." Of course, the bishop doesn't believe Juan Diego, so he returns, and after a series of apparitions, Mary says, "Take him this sign. Go up the hill, there's some roses blooming." Of course, it wasn't the season for roses. In addition, the roses were from Spain, not Mexico. And he takes in his tilma the roses, which is a sign the bishop asked for, to the bishop. And when he's in front of the bishop, he opens up his tilma to let the roses out. And on the tilma is this image we see, so that the bishop himself can not only have the sign, but see the apparition that Juan Diego saw. What's more is that image is miraculous. It's been studied many, many times. You perhaps know some of this. But first of all, the tilma was poor person's cactus, which would never last more than 20, 50 years before it totally decayed. But the tilma is still with us 500 years later in almost brand new condition. The image that's on it, scientists have examined and don't know how it got there or what type of image it is. There's no sketch underneath, which is what the typical process of an artist would do. In addition, the tilma for the first many, many years was kept basically outside in the church Juan Diego built with candles beneath it, which would have scarred it tremendously. Over the years, the tilma has survived acid being spilt on it with only a slight stain. And in 1921, someone planted a bomb and flowers beneath it at the cathedral. And the bomb destroyed the surrounding area, but the image, the tilma, was unharmed. There's much more miraculous about this image. If you examine, and we didn't know it until more recent technology allowed us to blow up and examine it more closely, but the eyes of the image have miraculous powers, it seems. Even this replica, if you look at it from the left side, the eyes look at you open, but if on the right side, her eyes close. But as ophthalmologists and doctors studied the eyes of the image under magnification that only modern technology allows, they find amazing discoveries. The anatomy of the human eye is exactly what is accurate due to modern technology and understanding that they wouldn't have known of 500 years ago. In addition, it's a quality of the eye when optometrists examine it that you can see reflections at various proportions and orientations of what the eye is looking at. And in this eye, there are reflections of Juan Diego, the bishop, and 11 or 10 other people in that room, translators, native families, that were present when Juan Diego gave the flowers to the bishop. A Japanese ophthalmologist was examining the eye, looking and discovering things like this, and he fainted because he says, also, the eyes are still alive. They're living. Sure enough, if you bring a bright light in front of the eyes, the pupils constrict. Put it in darkness, the eyes dilate. The image itself always remains at 98.4 degrees Fahrenheit, no matter what the ambient temperature of the room. It is still a living artifact of a proof of God's existence. But there is even more. What's more miraculous and changed history, life-changing, I guess is the word I'm looking for, is what the image symbolizes. It was the Aztec people to whom Mary appeared to teach them the true faith. And so if you look at the imagery that the Aztec people would recognize, you'll find that Mary is coming from heaven, the clouds behind her, and she's eclipsing the sun. The sun was the god for the Aztec people, the highest god. She's standing on the moon, showing that she's superior to the moon god, eclipsing the sun god. She's wearing turquoise, which is the color of Aztec royalty, wearing stars, which means she's from heaven, being carried by an angel. Carried is what royalty does, but also by an angel indicates that she is from heaven, she's royalty, the queen of heaven, and she's beginning a new era. That's how they would have interpreted that. But she is not God. As her eyes look down in humility, they would recognize that that is not God, because in their cultures, the gods look directly at them. Over her womb, she is with child, and over her womb is the flower for the Aztec people that represents deity, and the star constellation that represents deity. The image is saying is that this is the Queen of Heaven bringing the true God who eclipses your gods, beginning a new era. And what is more profound is that the angel has eagle's wings. It was the Aztec belief, and you know they practice human sacrifice, that the eagles carried the sacrifice to their gods. And so this image is also saying that you don't need to sacrifice your children, but Mary's child is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, pleasing to God. And so this image was able, when Juan Diego explained it to the people at the church he built, to convert 8 to 10 million people over the next 10 years. It's a profound story, but it's a story of God's love, a story of how God continues to be involved in our history, to reveal himself to us, to bring all his people together. And as you know, the tensions between the Europeans and the Native Americans, the relations weren't always the best, were they? We hear. Another thing about the image is that from about 6 feet away, she has olive skin like the Aztecs, but from other distances, it's more white like the Europeans. She came to harmonize both races because everyone is her child. And amongst all the Aztec cultures in the image, there is also the cross around her neck, which is the European style, saying that this God that the Europeans are teaching you is the true God. God wants to gather all his people into church. The church is not perfect, but God still works through the church to reveal himself. Mary said, go show the bishop. build a church, bring people to church, teach them the catechism. And so let us know that this faith in which we believe is not only the true faith, this church, not only the true church, but God is still powerfully present in our world and in our lives, revealing his will to us and his love. And what's more important, finally, is that Mary didn't appear to the bishop or to the military leaders. She appeared to Juan Diego, someone sitting in the pews, going to catechism class. And he became the evangelist, the mouthpiece, 10 million people. You have a great call. That's what makes the church great, is Christians in the world sharing this miracle with others and teaching them the love of God and the extent to which God has gone to save us in Christ Jesus.